Today on The Balanced Word from Dave Rolf.
What God the Holy Spirit wants to do is to make you refreshing and productive and a blessing. And you will find out that your thirst will only be quenched when your life means something, when you understand that you are making a difference.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands, and the instrument I play, wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Do you feel as though something is missing in your life and you're not making a difference? I think it's safe to say that would describe a lot of people in our world today. But God doesn't want that for us. Today on The Balanced Word, we'll see what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through our lives to lead us to productivity and fruitfulness. Here now to continue our series in the Gospel of John is Pastor Dave Rolf.
Well, let's turn to John chapter 7, if you have a Bible with you. We're going through the Gospel of John, and each Sunday we take another chapter of this book. And John is just such a cool book to study because the Apostle John, who wrote it, was one of Jesus' closest disciples, and he wrote his story about his experience with Jesus. And he told us in the book itself, in chapter 20, that he wrote this book for two reasons. One would be so that you will know who Jesus is, that he's the Messiah and that he's the Son of God. But secondly, he says, so that you will have life in his name. In other words, know who Jesus is and know what that does to your life and how we can do life better. So it's an awesome book. And now today we've come to chapter 7. On Friday, we had at my granddaughter Sadie's preschool, they had Grandparents Day, which was awesome. But we decided, hey, after that ends like 10:30 or so, then after we go through all of that, let's take Sadie to Disneyland. So it's been a while since I've been to Disneyland on a Friday. We usually go like on Sunday evenings or something when it's not crowded. But we went, and it was right from when you get there, the parking lot was closed, so I had to loop around to finally get into the parking lot. And then you get in there, and it's just packed with people because apparently they've restarted the old electrical parade that we all got bored with years ago. Well, now they're doing it again, and so people are coming wanting to see the electrical parade. So everywhere, people are lined up. There's noises everywhere. If you're familiar with the term cacophony, this is the definition of it, just constant noise and a jumbled mess. But the way that Disneyland is on a crowded day, that's a lot like for the Jews the Feast of Tabernacles was. It was one of the times when they would all come to Jerusalem. Feast of the Tabernacles, they would celebrate for a week. And what they were remembering was the fact that years before, they had been in the wilderness. Moses had led them out of Egypt, their slavery in Egypt, brought them to the Promised Land, but they didn't want to go in. They were afraid. And so they spent 40 years wandering through the wilderness. The Feast of Tabernacles, or tabernacle is a tent, it was to remember their days in the wilderness and how God provided for them by bringing manna from heaven to eat, water from a rock to drink. He protected them in the daytime with a cloud and in the evening at night with a fire. And so they celebrate this. And a part of the celebration even to this day for Jews on the Feast of Tabernacles is they live out in their backyard in a tent during tabernacle. Somebody sent me a picture the other day of an apartment building in Israel at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they cover their lanai with like a blanket and sleep out on their patio, supposedly. I don't know how many of them actually sleep out there, but it's the idea of being out there looking at the sky and saying, boy, we remember when God really came through for our ancestors. So they would all come there, and Jerusalem was just a jumbled mass of people, all wanting to come into the temple grounds and to be there for all the ceremonies and everything. So Jesus would go there as well. But this time, as we read chapter 7, and we're going to focus in on a few verses ultimately, but I want you to see the whole chapter so you get the context and the picture. For Jesus, the noise, well, as we read through it, it was like all about him. You ever get the feeling when you walk up on a conversation and everyone goes quiet, that maybe they were talking about you? Imagine that everyone's gossiping about you at Disneyland. You know, everybody's like, yeah, and they all had different opinions. Well, that's kind of the way this feast was for Jesus. They were all gossiping about him, guessing as to who he was. There were people who wanted to kill him. It was crazy. The chapter starts out as, well, we can look at John chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea. So Galilee was up north where they lived. Judea was where Jerusalem was. But he didn't want to hang out there because the Jews were trying to kill him. Remember, the Jewish leaders were upset that he had healed a guy on the Sabbath. And so they decided to take him out. But it says, the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. So his brothers, you got to love brothers, they said to him, why don't you get out of here and go into Judea that your disciples also may see the works that you're doing? You need a bigger platform. Why don't you go do some stuff in Jerusalem? For no one does anything in secret while he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. Verse 5, for even his brothers did not believe in him. Nice brothers. They're like going, people are trying to kill you. Why don't you go down there and just introduce yourself to Jerusalem? This will be fun. They're like wanting him to set himself up for failure. But he said he knew that his time wasn't there. And so he said, you guys go on down there and I'm going to stay here in Galilee for a bit. So how would that feel? That's kind of a horrible thing, but he ended up going down there. The Jews, down in verse 11, when it says the Jews, it's talking about the Jewish leaders. In verse 11, it says, the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? They saw his brothers, but at this point, he came down, but he was in secret. They're looking for guys from Galilee and going, where is this guy? Because they wanted to kill him. In verse 12, there was much complaining among the people concerning Jesus. They were arguing about who he was. Some said, he is good. Others said, no, on the contrary, he deceives the people. No one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. So right away, he's the topic of conversation. He is the source of the noise at this festival. But amazingly, when he got there, in verse 14, he went up into the temple and began to teach. Well, they had opinions about that too. They were like, how does he teach so good when he doesn't have a formal education? So here's more opinions. And Jesus went ahead and responded to them that, hey, that he knows the Father and that he does what the Father wants him to do. And if you knew the Father, you would know me. And that wasn't making them any happier. And then he goes ahead and says, and by the way, you know, Moses told people that you should be circumcised on the eighth day. So he said, you are so locked into that law that if somebody is born on Friday, you end up circumcising them on the following Saturday. So you're allowed to circumcise on the Sabbath, but you're not allowed to heal somebody who's sick on the Sabbath. How weird is that? And they're going around, and he goes, also, why are you guys trying to kill me? And they're like, what, are you demon-possessed or something? We're not trying to kill you. And then they're like, go kill him. They get the officers, which were their security guards, and they said, go grab Jesus and arrest him. So all of this stuff is going on, and the people are still talking, and some people were saying, hey, who is this guy? Could he be the Messiah with the stuff he's doing? And other guys are going, no, he can't be the Messiah. The Messiah is supposed to be born in Bethlehem, and he's from Nazareth. And just, again, more and more noise. And Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple in verse 28 and said, you guys know me. You know who I am. And you know where I'm from. And I haven't come of myself. He who sent me is true, whom you do not know. I know him. So in verse 30, they sought to take him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. They just couldn't get him. And in verse 31, it said, many of the people believed. And he goes on, they go on to say, come on, how could somebody be more of a Messiah than him? Look at the stuff he's doing. So again, he is a source of division. And the Pharisees and the high priests and everybody, they're like, we've got to take this guy out. We've got to kill him. Jesus is knowing all this stuff. So you're walking through a crowded, you know, outer court of the temple, and you're the topic of conversation. And some people want to kill you. Some people are like, I don't know. He seems like a nice guy to me. Well, he's teaching good. Yeah, but how could he? Come on, he can't be the Messiah. And all this stuff's going on all around him. And so then at some point, he told them, look, someday you're going to look for me and I'll be gone. You won't even know where I am. So the Jewish leaders were like, what's he going to do? Move to Europe and minister to Gentiles? What's he doing? Then in verse 37, he gives the message that is the core of what he had to say to them. But I want to go on and cover the rest of the chapter first, and then we'll come back and look at that. Because, again, I want us to feel the atmosphere, the environment in which this message is given. In verse 40, it says, many from the crowd, when they heard what he was saying, said, this must be the prophet, that is Elijah. Others said, no, this is the Messiah. And some goes, the Messiah didn't come out of Galilee. So verse 43, there was a division among the people because of him. How sad that someone who came for all the people just became a source of division. I think it's weird whenever you have people who are Christians and yet they're constantly fighting with each other. They're constantly divided. Quite often, our greatest enemies are the ones who believe like we do. It's crazy. It was then and it is now. But in verse 44, some of them wanted to take him, but no one actually did it. Finally, in verse 45, the security guards came back to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said, why haven't you arrested him yet? Why haven't you brought him? And the officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. They're like, how could we take him? Did you hear what he's saying? It's amazing. And so they start, you know, going, that's why you guys work as security guards. You don't see smart people following him. It's just a bunch of stupid people, so you must be stupid. Then Nicodemus, who we saw in John chapter 3, who was a ruler, a leader of the Jews, stepped up and he said in verse 51, does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? He's like, you know, technically, at this point, Nicodemus probably isn't a Christian, but he's really starting to wonder. And he's saying, do you guys hear what you're doing? You're breaking our law to go bust him for breaking our law. This doesn't make sense. And their response to him was, what, are you from Galilee? Nobody good comes out of Galilee. What, are you a Galilean? Are you becoming a Christian, Nicodemus? He doesn't really say anything to that. And then finally, everybody went home in verse 53. But the core of this day at the Feast of Tabernacles was what Jesus said, beginning with verse 37. So for the rest of our time, I want to look at what he said to them that would have been probably what was happening at this point. During the Feast of Tabernacles, one thing that they would do is take a big, huge jug down to the Pool of Siloam, which is right near the Temple Mount. They would come and fill it. They would pour water over the altar and let it run down. And because the way the temple is, that the temple itself is kind of at the top, and then you have scaling down all the way to the steps at the southern side of the Temple Mount, this water would be poured down. It would run through the crowd, and it would run down those steps. So it was like this cool water feature. And on the last day of the feast, they did twice as much water. So it was like a signal that, okay, it's coming to an end. It's coming to a crescendo. And I have no doubt that this was when Jesus said, is anybody thirsty? Water's just flooding from the temple. It's running through your feet. You know, they had been walking, dust on their feet, and now it's muddy, and it's, and this is like the signal that we're getting close to the end. Jesus, in verse 37, on the last day, the great day of the feast, he stood up and cried out so loud that it cut through all the cacophony of all of the communication that was going on. Everybody kind of had to stop. Whoa, what's that? He's crying out with a loud voice. Is anyone thirsty? Let him come to me and drink. Jesus is saying, I am here for anyone who wants something. The word there for thirst, the Greek word is a word that really means to suffer thirst. And it's not just like, I mean, a lot of times you're at somebody's house, they're like, oh, you're thirsty, want some water? I could take it or leave it, really. Most of the time I could take it or leave it. Oh, you should have water. Okay. That's different than this. This is like, I am dying of thirst. I am aching. I need water so bad. He says, if that's you, come to me and drink. Remember, when he talked with the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well, he had told her, if you are thirsty, I can give you water so that you'll never thirst again. I can satisfy your thirst. But this time it's a little different because he is making an offer to everyone. And he's saying, if you are dying of thirst, if you are really hurting, if there is something in your life that you know it just isn't the way that it ought to be, there's something missing for you, come to me and I have that. And I can meet that need. But he goes on and says in verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, there is no scripture that specifically says this, so don't look for it. He's probably talking about, this is what the whole Bible has been talking about. Out of his heart, or out of the core of his being, some of the, like the King James says, out of his belly, but it just means out of the depths of who you are, will flow rivers of living water. That word for river, sometimes it's translated floods. The idea is it's an overflowing bank of a river. It's a torrent of water. When Jesus tells a parable about the guy that builds his house and then the storm comes, it's the same word. So Jesus is saying, not only can you come to me and receive what you're thirsty for, but as it turns out, you can produce, coming from you, can be something that's for everyone around. I can make you productive. I can make you fruitful. I can make you refreshing. See, anyone who feels thirsty, anyone who feels like there's something missing in my life, sooner or later, a lot of that comes down to the fact that I don't feel like I make a difference. I don't feel like I have anything to offer. I talk to people almost every day, but at least like 3 days a week, I talk to somebody who says, I don't want to live any longer. I think people would be better off without me. And that's, there are tons of people who feel that way. What they're really saying is, I think I'm as good dead as I am alive. I think I'm a burden to people. What that is a sense of, I am not offering anything. No one really needs me. No one depends on me. I'm not a help to anyone. I am so depressing that when people are around me, it feels like I suck the life out of them. You know, it's like they say that some people, when they walk in a room, they can brighten up the room just by walking in. Other people can brighten up a room just by leaving. And that's what people feel like. Well, there's just no point for me to be here. And Jesus is kind of giving us a hint about that, saying, you're thirsty, not because of what you haven't taken in necessarily, but your real thirst is that you don't feel like your life is making a difference. And so he says, what God the Holy Spirit wants to do is to make you refreshing and productive and a blessing. And you will find out that your thirst will only be quenched when your life means something, when you understand that you are making a difference. And John says he was talking about the Holy Spirit who hadn't been given because Jesus hadn't gone to heaven yet. After Jesus went to heaven, Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and they began to make a difference in people's lives. They right away, Peter, who had been so scared a few days earlier that he was telling people, I don't even know Jesus. Now he gets up in front of thousands of people in the same place where they were at this point and preaches the good news. He risks his life and 3,000 people come and go, whoa, this is changing my life. I want to be baptized. I want to start life over. That's what happens when we have God beginning to flow through our lives, and that's what Jesus is inviting.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. As we go through the Gospel of John together, there may come a time when you'd like to hear a message again. You can do so rather easily at thebalancedword.com or call and request a CD copy at 949-362-7475. By the way, we're making this complete series in John available to you on a thumb drive for a donation of $10 or more. Go through this powerful gospel from start to finish with Pastor Dave. Again, call 949-362-7475 and we can help you with that. Please remember, it's your support that allows us to bring the teaching of God's Word to the radio every day. Thank you for standing with us. Again, we can be reached at 949-362-7475. Or you can make a donation and resource request online at thebalancedword.com. We'd like to invite you to visit us at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Pastor Dave Rolfe teaches most weekends, and you can hear him teach the Word Sunday morning at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. He always enjoys meeting his listeners, so please say hi after the service. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com. Or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Well, we have a couple of minutes left, so let's spend some time reflecting on what John 7 is communicating to us. Here again is Pastor Dave.
The New Testament says a lot about the effect of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's just so ironic that what we think we need to do is accept something, receive something, when really we need to find out that our life actually means something. And so when the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, here's what happens when the Holy Spirit's working in your life. You have love and joy and peace and patience, gentleness, goodness, and so on. Your life becomes something that gives to others. The New Testament talks about what we call spiritual gifts. These are these abilities, like a gift of giving and a gift of compassion and a gift of administration and a gift of teaching, all these abilities that the Holy Spirit gives us to make a difference in somebody else's life. If you feel like your life, it doesn't make a difference, if you feel like all you do is bring people down, the problem is not you. The problem is not just some people just aren't gifted. The problem is you need to receive from the Holy Spirit what will then allow you to make your life a blessing. And that's what Jesus is identifying here. It's like he sees people who, my brothers, they would just like to see me get killed. And he sees other people, the Jewish leaders, and like they're jealous of me and they want to kill me. And other people, well, they just want to judge me. They just want to decide, well, maybe he's this, maybe he's that. He's hearing all of this noise, and he's going, one thing that you guys have totally in common, and I am making an invitation to all of you, to anyone who's thirsty. If something is missing from your life, if you feel like your life doesn't matter, I'm telling you, come to me. And by my Holy Spirit, I can make you to have a life that can be worth living. I can give you a life that actually makes a difference in the lives of others.
There's much more to come in our study of the Gospel of John. We'll see you next time right here on The Balanced Word with Dave Rolfe. This program is listener-supported and brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel, online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up, my hands. And the instrument I play. Wake up, my voice.